A reading from the letter of St. James. Beloved, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we shall go into such and such a town, spend a year there doing business, and make a profit. You have no idea what your life will be like tomorrow. You are a puff of smoke that appears briefly and then disappears. Instead, you should say, if the Lord wills it, we shall live to do this or that. But now you are boasting in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So for one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, it is a sin. Verbum Domini. Blessed are the poor in spirit. The kingdom of heaven is theirs.
Blessed are the poor in spirit. The kingdom of heaven is theirs.
Hear this, all you peoples. Hearken, all who dwell in the world, of lowly birth or high degree, rich and poor alike. Why should I fear in evil days, when my wicked ensnares ring me round? They trust in their wealth, the abundance of their riches is their boast. Yet in no way can a man redeem himself, or pay his own ransom to God. Too high is the price to redeem one's life. He would never have enough to remain alive always and not see destruction. For he can see that wise men die, and likewise the senseless and the stupid pass away, leaving to others their wealth.
Dominus vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Marcum. John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we tried to prevent him because he does not follow us." Jesus replied, "Do not prevent him. There is no one who performs a mighty deed in my name who can at the same time speak ill of me. For whoever is not against us is for us." Verbum Domini. There are a number of elements in today's celebration of St. Rita, as well as these readings, that speak to needs about the way we respond to our culture. I want to begin with St. James, that he talks here about people who are arrogant. Remember, St. James is the New Testament wisdom book. In the Old Testament, we have Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, Sirach, Wisdom of Solomon, and Job. These are wisdom books. And by wisdom books, we mean the ability to reflect on life and draw conclusions about how to act. But we draw those conclusions on the basis of faith, wisdom rooted in faith. There are lots and lots of other forms of knowledge that are not rooted in faith. Some people will claim to have knowledge that tries to disprove the faith. That wouldn't be part of the wisdom of the Old Testament, and not James either. James very much writes, like we see in the book of Proverbs and Sirach, I'd say especially those two. And he's dealing here with the kind of arrogance that is part of being human. Humans tend to become sort of arrogant. They tend to think of themselves as being right and everybody else as being wrong when they disagree with them. And they also tend to have their own plans. This is a very human characteristic, to develop your own plans and say, this is what I want to do. In fact, I always prepare what married couples for, you know, their wedding. I'd go through a lot of issues. One of the issues you have to deal with are financial. And I'll ask them, what kind of vehicle do you plan to be driving in a few years? What kind of house do you want to live in the next couple years when you're married 10 years, 25 years? How do you plan to retire? What are your visions? Because I want them to start talking about their plans and their visions. So it said, you spent money on that? We got to buy the house and all the other things that go on in life. And then after discussing that and getting some of their ideas and plans, I said, now just be alert. None of that's going to happen that way. You know, because life has its own way of going. And you can make your plans, and that's good, but you also have to adapt to reality, because life doesn't go exactly according to your plan. That's reality. You don't get to choose the personality of the kids you have, and you're not in charge of the economy. You know, that's the way it goes. So make those plans, but be willing to make, you know, changes. And here, James is giving another kind of wisdom, a deeper one than the advice I usually give. He is saying, you know, be careful about making these plans. We have to always do the way, as a matter of fact, something that I've learned by having lived in the Middle East, that everything is God willing. Everything there is God willing, inshallah, in Arabic. That's why you see very few atheists in the Middle East. You can't speak Arabic without believing in God. He's part of every conversation. And so that's a good model. You know, we need to have a sense of what is God's will. And this goes to another level of wisdom based on our Lord's teaching us how to pray. In the Lord's Prayer, that we'll say in a few moments together, says, thy will be done. And St. James puts it in the sense of recognizing that God is going to be involved, and if God wills this, I'll do it. And there's this back and forth between our active seeking of what God wants and also reacting to many of those things that God permits. There are a lot of things that happen in life, even as we seek His will. Sometimes things don't go the way we think it might. Again, there are a variety of issues, the accidents of history and nature. Also, bad people try to thwart God's plan. There are bad people who want to do contrary to God's will. They want to thwart His will. This is why we have seen governments committed to mass murder over the last century. That the, you know, back in the last century between war and genocide, 305 million people died. This is something where they were thwarting God's will. God willed those people to be alive, and they were executed. So we have to deal with that as well. God certainly is frustrated by those who do contrary to His will, who disobey His commandments. But that can never be our approach. Our approach is to do this seeking of God's will, accepting what He permits, and dealing with the various problems that show up. That assumes a virtue that is not well regarded in our culture, namely the virtue of humility. Humility is willing to say, God is more right than I am. Sometimes, at different stages of life, you have to say, my parents are more wise than I, and other people are more wise than I. But an attitude of humility that learns to cope. I was listening to a talk by Friedrich Hayek, a famous economist, and he talked about how important it was for overcoming the arrogance of governments. Remember, he was writing at the time of World War II. And he lived in, had been in Nazi-occupied Austria, his home country, and had to move to England. He knew the horrors of what was going on with planned economies, like National Socialism and Communism. And he said one of the reasons they oppose religion is that religion teaches you humility before the will of God. Religion calls us to accept God's commandments rather than doing it my way. Religion teaches us that life is very complicated. That's why you read wisdom books like Job and Ecclesiastes, as well as Proverbs. Proverbs is very optimistic. Job is dealing with a lot of problems in life that you know, the accidents of nature killing off your family, getting disease. And Ecclesiastes is just cynical. And so these are various realities that have to be dealt with humbly. And those who think they can control an economy, world history, etc., have an arrogance that precludes the possibility of seeking God's will. And everyone needs to learn from their faith, humility. You won't learn it from political theories unless they are grounded in seeking God's will. And that's fairly, fairly limited. So if God wills it, we shall live to do this or that. And we don't boast in our arrogance, but we humbly learn to accept reality. In the case of Saint Rita, you know, think about the kind of situation she was in. Italy was in chaos. Every little prince thought that he should be king. And as all those little princes thought that they should be king, the Pope was by name, the ruler of Italy, as the head of the Papal States, but that didn't matter much. The princes did what they wanted. And then even within kingdoms, the princes used various gangs of little nobles, you know, minor nobles, or other people who just wanted to get rich, with the acquiescence of the nobility to crime. Yeah, I'll go ahead and commit the crime, just make sure that my enemies suffer. And her husband was part of a family that was a criminal family. They were committed to committing crimes and, you know, to make sure that the family did okay and whoever they were supporting. And that kind of political corruption and family crime was very difficult for her to live with. She had the humility that came from being committed to her Catholic faith. She couldn't go along with that. She kept trying to dissuade her husband, who was abusive toward her too. That's another aspect of arrogance and boasting, that it can make a strong person abusive towards those he perceives as weak, whether it's the enemies or his own family. And he raised his sons with this sense. They had two sons. With her persistent and humble faith, she won him over to living out a Catholic life, and he got removed from the family, which evil cannot stand. Evil doesn't want people to leave the bad path. And, you know, having grown up in Chicago, where organized crime was and still is a major issue. You know, the people who do the crime change, the names of the gangs change, but it's the same kind of cult. That's one of the reasons I like St. Rita. It sounds like home. And so this is something that was a problem. And when he left, he was murdered. And his sons wanted to commit murder in revenge. That's the way the arrogant try to do their will, impose themselves. They'll do something like killing their enemies, getting back at them, etc. And this is something that Christian humility doesn't want us to do. Instead, we seek the conversion of our opponents. We seek them to come to Christ the way St. Rita sought her husband to come to correction and faith and a good moral life, and he did, after much struggle. She even prayed that her sons would die before they were old enough to get revenge for their father's murder. And they did, and they repented as they were dying of sickness. And that was her desire, that they die in Christ rather than kill for the sake of Satan. Remember, it's always Satan who is a liar, the father of lies, and a murderer. Murder and death are his tools, along with deception. And the tools of those of faith who seek to humbly do the will of God, and who also humbly learn to accept the will of God when they can't do anything about it. That's the way of truth and of seeking the good of even our enemies. And that way she lived out Christ, and even after her widowhood, and she tried to join an order of sisters to be associated with them, the family tried to keep her out. She suffered tremendously, even as she tried to live religious life, because even that can become a place of misunderstanding and difficulty. And her struggle was horrendous. But you can see why she is such a patron. I know so many. St. Rita is extremely popular among the Lebanese Maronites. She's much, much loved. And it's especially by wives who understand the difficulties, the struggles. And all of us can learn from her struggles, and that the spiritual turmoil that she also endured along with the other difficulties, the poverty and the rest, the loss of her own family. She really came through that because of humbly seeking the will of God, humbly pursuing it, and humbly accepting it. In this way, she lives out this teaching of St. James. And we ourselves need to learn this wisdom in a society which psychologists now point out it has a pandemic of clinical narcissism. They're talking about a pandemic of clinical narcissism, a culture that teaches us, you know, I mean, Frank Sinatra sang it, I do it my way, you know, or did it my way, and all that. That kind of narcissism of our culture is contradicted by this. And in the face of the arrogance that we see of people doing whatever they want, we all have to then be like Rita, go against that cultural trend and follow what our Lord taught us, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and St. James' wisdom that if it's God's will, we shall live to do this or that. That humility will be part of the way of our salvation.